Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The portion of Scripture for our meditation this morning is recorded for us in the 9th chapter of the book of Proverbs. Dear friends in Christ, if you're like me, you don't really watch too many commercials anymore. You either fast forward it through the commercials or you switch it to your B show so you don't have to watch any commercials. But inevitably, the commercials are going to match up and you're going to get stuck watching some. Some of them are good. Some of them aren't so good. And then there's a different kind of commercial that we call infomercials. Now, what makes commercials different than infomercials? Well, one's the length. A commercial is maybe 30 seconds, maybe a minute. Infomercials are half an hour, maybe an hour. Commercials are usually by a reputable company selling a well-known product or maybe a new product, but one that you know you can trust. Infomercials are by a company you've never heard of, selling a product that some guy invented in his garage that you never knew you needed before. Every infomercial has a pitch man. A charismatic guy or woman with lots of personality trying to sell this product. And why do infomercials need pitchmen? Now, there are certainly legitimate products they sell on infomercials. Some you can even buy in the store now. But often, they have pitchmen to cover up for the product. To make it exciting, to make it look better than it truly is, to entice you to spend $19.95 three times in order for you to buy it. There are really two different kinds of invitations, commercials and infomercials. Which one has your ear? Today, we see two different invitations. One by wisdom, one by folly. Which one has your ear? In our text for today, wisdom is personified. As King Solomon has in the previous chapters, he presents wisdom as a person. Here, wisdom is depicted as a woman. Now, the way Solomon portrays wisdom throughout the book of Proverbs is nuanced, to say the least. In verse 10 of this chapter, we have the theme of Proverbs. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Wisdom in Proverbs, though, isn't just head knowledge. It isn't just the ability to do certain things. Wisdom is also portrayed, often it's portrayed, as moral judgment. Doing things at the right time, doing the right things at the right time for the right reasons. Wisdom, in the context of our text for today, we can see wisdom as Christ. That wisdom God gives to us through Christ in accordance or with the word of Christ. Folly is also personified in this chapter. Again, as a woman. Now, in the chapters leading up to chapter 9, Solomon talks about this an adulterous woman. This adulterous woman is one who leads people astray from God's word, and it depicts how the Israelites were led astray from the worship of God and led astray, and they went after false gods contrary to the will of God. This adulterous woman is now called folly. So really, folly is anything that the world throws at us, trying to entice us away from God and His Word. So you have wisdom and you have folly, and they both send out invitations. Now, one of the most enjoyable experiences in life is to get together with people you know and to sit down for a meal. That's what we often do when we get together, isn't it? Whether it's at a graduation party or a wedding or just having some friends over, when we get together, we often eat and drink. That's the picture here. We're invited over for a meal. Wisdom gives the first invitation. Wisdom has a great banquet prepared for us. And then she sent her maids out into the highest point of the city to shout for to invite everyone to come in here. Reminds us of the parable of the banquet that Jesus told. Now Jesus, this owner had prepared a great banquet and told all his invitees to come, and they all came up with excuses. So he sent his servants out into the land to invite anyone to come and eat his banquet with him. It's depiction of how the Jews rejected God's plan of salvation in Jesus, so then God sent his gospel to the Gentiles. It also might remind us of Jesus sending out his disciples, for instance in Mark 16, go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation. So wisdom sends out her servants, her maids. And they give this invitation, let all who are simple come in here, she says to those who lack judgment. And whether you like to admit it or not, you are those who lack judgment. You are those who are simple. At least you were. When you were born ignorant. Ignorant of the true God, ignorant of his Son, ignorant of what his Son had done to save you. You're in the dark about the way of salvation. You thought that you can earn your way to eternal life by what you do. Your morals weren't based on God's word. No, you thought your morals depended on your own personal opinions or what society led you to believe. You were simple. And the first step in dining with the Lord is realizing that this invitation is for you. Someone who's simple. Lacks understanding. And then there's Folly's invitation. She sits at the door of her house, on a seat at the highest point of the city, calling out to those who pass by, who go straight on their way. Her invitation is described as loud, undisciplined, and without knowledge. She doesn't go out into the city. She doesn't go out into the land. She sits by her house, trying to get those who pass by, the unsuspecting, those who are planning on going somewhere else, who have their guard down, and she tries to lure them in like neon signs in a red light district of a large city. She doesn't want you to think about it. It's not rational. A spur of the moment type lurement. And notice the invitation that Folly gives. Uses the exact same words as wisdom. Let all who are simple come in here, she says to those who lack judgment. The exact same words. She doesn't lure you by telling you it's folly to follow her. No, she uses the same words in order to trick you. Just like the devil. He makes promises. Oh, this will make your life happier. And God just wants you to be happy. Oh, it doesn't matter who you love. God's not going to condemn you for that. Oh, God just made you this way. It's fun. Not everyone's doing it anyway. God doesn't really care about that. God won't judge you. Similar promises he made to Adam and Eve. You won't surely die, but when you eat of it, you will be like God, knowing good and evil. That's Folly's ploy. Getting us to think that what she offers is the same as what God offers. And so like Adam and Eve were easily enticed away, we end up going into Folly's house and dining with her. Or perhaps maybe we eat with wisdom and then we go and have dessert with folly, thinking, oh, our Father is going to forgive us anyway, so we can go out and do whatever we want and be forgiven. It's folly's ploy. He used the same words for the invitation, so it's important to look at what's behind that invitation. Look what wisdom has behind her invitation. Wisdom built a house, a great and glamorous house, 7 pillars indicating its magnificence. Reminds us of what Jesus said to his disciples on Monday Thursday. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. I will go and prepare a place for you. Or perhaps it reminds you of the household of God, His church, which Paul describes as built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus Himself as a chief cornerstone. So wisdom has built this house, and now wisdom prepares a meal. Slaughtered her meat. Really slaughtered her slaughter. It's not a snacks type of thing. It's not junk food while you're watching the game with someone. No, this is a great and magnificent banquet. Not only has she chose her meat and prepared it, she has taken some wine and mixed it with spices so that it tastes better. She has chosen her best china and set the table. No paper plates or plastic cups. This is the best of the best of what she had to offer. That slaughtered animal reminds us of words of Isaiah about Jesus, who was led like a lamb to the slaughter. And the banquet, the whole banquet, reminds us of other words of Isaiah. On this mountain, the Lord Almighty will prepare a rich food, a feast of rich food for all peoples, a banquet of aged wine, the best of meat, and the finest of wines. This banquet that we are invited to, this whole plan, is the plan of salvation that God has prepared for all people. This salvation He has invites us to receive through faith in Him, worked in us by the Holy Spirit, working through the gospel. His plan of salvation, His plan of sending His Son into the world to suffer and die in our place, to live that perfect life, to rise from the dead, this plan is what He had in mind in order to save us. Receive through faith in Him, and remember that He calls us who are simple, who lack understanding, to be saved. You think it would be cool and fun to dine at someone's house who's rich and famous, who gives you the best He has to offer? God is even more gracious in that He gives us His salvation. And then there's folly. Folly's invitation. What's behind her invitation? What does she serve? Stolen water is sweet, and food eaten in secret is delicious. Not a choice cut of meat prepared the best way, not wine mixed with spices, but stolen water and food. Maybe it tastes good. Maybe it's fun to eat stolen food, maybe enticing. That's folly's trick. To think that what you are receiving is worthwhile. Go ahead. Take that money, folly says. You need it more than that other person. Go ahead. Sleep with that person who's not your wife. It's not a big deal. You know, you certainly would have a lot more time on your hands if you didn't spend so much time at church. That's folly's trick. Invitation to supposedly a better option. Invitation to something that's fun, that's something that's exciting. As if folly knows what's better for you than God. Invitation to the fun, the worry-free. It's not a well-thought-out plan. It's not a great, eloquent banquet. It's a wild spur-of-the-moment event with empty promises. Like that first meal Satan invited Adam and Eve to. That fruit may have looked pleasing to the eye, and to Eve it might have tasted nice. But the promises weren't what they seemed, and in the end, it ended in death. And that's the result of dining with folly. Look at what Solomon says about those who do dine with folly. Little do they know that the dead are there, that her guests are in the depths of the grave. There's nothing good, nothing beneficial that comes with sitting down or entering folly's house, even for dessert, and dining with folly. It may have seemed fun. It may have been exciting at the time. Maybe even gave him some temporary pleasure. It may have tasted sweet. But in the end, it is full with poison and it ends in death. And not just physical death. Those who listen to Folly's call don't just end up with some kitchen appliance that they only use once or twice and then throw in the closet for the rest of their lives. Those who dine with folly die forever. They end up in the dungeon of hell, which God created to make Satan suffer. That's what awaits all who dine with folly. But what about those who eat wisdom's banquet? Leave your simple ways and you will live. Walk in the way of understanding. That is God's gracious promise that we will live. That's God's promise to us. That's His invitation. Come, know the way of salvation. Know Christ and what He has done to save you. Know and believe this and you will live. Live not just living a longer life on the earth, living not just having a better life or more exciting life on this earth, live for eternity. Live in heaven with me, in a place free from sin, free from the enticements of sin, a perfect place. That is this invitation of wisdom, which is ours through faith in Christ, that we are saved and live with Him forever. But wisdom also offers an earthly blessing. Understanding. By nature, we're simple. By nature, we lack understanding. But God gives us understanding. Not in the sense that we're smart here on earth. We may not know many things in this world. But we know the most important thing. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. We know that salvation comes through Him and through Him alone, not depending on anything we have done or can ever do. And in that, we are wise in the eyes of the Lord. Wisdom is like that reputed company having a commercial for that product you know and you love. Folly is like that infomercial with its pitchman. One offers what is good and leads to eternal life. The other may be exciting and it may taste sweet. But in the end, it leads to death. But folly is so enticing. And again, we get enticed by folly. Tempted again and again. So what do? Well, we listen to what Paul says. I mean, what Solomon says. Leave your simple ways. Walk in the way of understanding. When we feel folly's temptation, when we are tempted by folly again and again, we turn instead to to wisdom. We turn to the Lord. We get in His Word. We cling to His Word. We tune out. Follow His invitation. We tune in to wisdom. We tune in to God and His Word on a regular basis and whenever we're tempted. And when we dine with wisdom, we will live. We will have an eternal life at the Lord's table. As John wrote in Revelation 19, "Let us rejoice and be glad and give Him glory. For the wedding of the Lamb has come, and His bride has made herself ready. Fine linen, bright and clean, was given to her to wear. Fine linen stands for the righteous acts of the saints." Then the angel said to me, "Blessed are those who are invited to the wedding supper of the Lamb." That's wisdom's banquet, to which all of us are invited. Amen. Please stand. Now the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.